We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
How do you do? Good morning, all. Thanks for being with us today. It is 8 minutes past 8 a.m. on this Friday, the 22nd of May. If you are losing track of what day of the week it is, and it's awfully easy to do at times, but it is a Friday. And, of course, it's more than just any old Friday. This is the Friday that leads into the Memorial Day weekend, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. So we hope that it's going to be a good one for you. And we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Checking out the texters out. Oh, well, we have something this morning from Alan R. in Spartanburg, our Limerick man here. There was, in fact, a story about strippers wearing masks. That is true. Hence this limerick. The stripper performed her task. I'll do it again. We always need to read these right. The stripper performing her task is compliant, should anyone ask. She escapes like Houdini from her tiny bikini while dutifully wearing her mask. Makes you wonder why they aren't wearing, let's say, three strategically placed masks and not on their face. However, texter having other thoughts to pass along here. Voters could provide oversight if the media was impartial and zealous. They could, but honestly, this overlooks an unfortunate fact, not to make excuses for the media, but simply to note the criterion by which many people vote. Far too many people. Who's going to give me the most free stuff? Every decision they make in the voting booth is based on the answer to the question, who's going to give me the most free stuff? And there's no question that if that's all you're concerned with, then they're voting correctly, because Democrats will certainly give them more free stuff, for what it's worth. Pass that along here. Voter fraud and your previous caller, the burden of proof isn't about proving a negative that voter fraud didn't happen. It's about corroborating that all votes counted were legitimate, which is indeed a positive and verifiable statement. Yes, that is true. That is, it is not a negative, not to prove that that no fraud occurred, but to prove you've done all in your power to minimize fraud. That's what's so important. And it is vitally important. But again, when you look at the vote in support of many of those on the left, like I said, when Nancy Pelosi routinely wins with 80%, the last five elections, I think it was 80, 85, 83, and 81%. That's the last four. But it's been pretty much that way since she was first elected back in the 80s. She's been getting 80 percentile figures. It's a very liberal town, what can I tell you? So I would certainly like to see to it that the media did all that they're supposed to do, but many voters wouldn't be interested, regrettably. Let's see here. Voters may be the congressional oversight, but lots are either uninformed or misinformed by the media. In some cases, yes, and in some cases they simply know what they want. And on programs like this, we tend to talk a great deal about issues like voter integrity, vote integrity, and the like. It's now 8:11 at 106.3 WORD. And some people don't care. Some people just don't care. So you could say that they are voting rationally if all they want is free stuff. Yeah, they're voting for the people who will give them free stuff. Let's see here. I'll just read it. It's hard to know exactly the context. That was one of the years when it was proven that the Democratic Party had sent out ballot harvesters to the elderly population. I'm not sure which year they're referring to, but anyway. My relative lived in California at that time in one of the few Republican districts. Yeah, there are fewer and fewer, certainly. Oh, it's unfortunate. But certainly we don't need to go to the direction of not only encouraging but requiring that voter harvesting be allowed. Again, the potential for corruption is extreme, and we just don't need that. We don't need that. We need exactly the opposite. Another texter says they stopped the National Vote Fraud Council because the main offending states wouldn't cooperate or share voter information. That is true. They did face a lack of cooperation. They reached the point where they were pretty much beating their head against the wall. 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. If you have thoughts you would like to pass along to us this morning, we would love to hear from you. And I'm curious as to how this Memorial Day weekend will be special, if at all. Or is it going to be just another hunker-in-the-bunker moment? I can't tell you that we are going to be having anything special in our weekend necessarily. Of course, the weather has got to cooperate for it to be too special. But we do have a party barge that might get unlimbered if, in fact, the weather cooperates. And we promise not to get within 6 feet of another boat, okay? Cross my heart and hope to die. We won't get within 6 feet of another boat. Otherwise, I don't know that I see it as a moment of any great liberation. There is a community pool near where I am, and we haven't heard yet when that's going to open, even though I understand that, June the 1st, I think, is the date that they're allowed to open, something like that. We haven't heard a word about that. That'll be nice. I look forward to all the things that you're supposed to do in the summer, and we'll just see if we, in fact, get to do them. What can I tell you? South Carolina, number 35 on a list of state rankings by the amount of restrictions still in effect. The most free state is South Dakota, number 51 on the list. D.C. is included in this survey. And the most restrictive state, Hawaii, where they would actually, in some cases, they were allowing people to go to Hawaii but not leave their hotel room. If you look out your window, you can see Waikiki Beach. Don't go there, but you can see it. Sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time flies when you're having fun. We hope that you're having fun. Of course, time is fun when you're having flies, too, as the frog on the lily pad once said. Delighted that you are with us this morning. As we look ahead to the Memorial Day weekend, they're kind of raining on our parade. Of course, in some cases, literally, there's still some more rain, I think, kind of dribbled out through the Memorial Day weekend. Otherwise, we might limber up the party barge and sally forth. But other than that, of course, is whatever restrictions are still in place. Interestingly enough, the restaurant that I tend to visit a lot, neighborhood restaurant, where they are allowed to reopen inside the building now, because you've got to have all the tables widely spaced and limits on the number of people per table, all the rest of the stuff that we recall hearing about. They haven't even gone that far. They've stayed with their takeout menu. I'm kind of surprised that they did that, but whatever. They serve good food, barbecue, so we'll probably get some. But I am looking forward to their complete reopening, and I'm kind of surprised. I'm wondering if they need fewer people to handle the takeout, and that if they open up the place with all the wide spacing, this is something that again, I've never run a restaurant, so I don't know about, but it's very possible that if you open up, let's say, a restaurant, but you open it up at, let's say, far less than your normal full capacity, that by the time you pay for all of the wait staff that's necessary, that you're losing money. I don't know this for a fact, but it's something that certainly can be considered. Texter is here. Let's see. South Dakota has a Republican governor, indeed. Very sharp lady, as the texter says, and very smart. I feel she will run for president someday and it will probably be elected. She may, indeed. Her state has a balanced budget. Yeah, many states, of course, are required by their state constitution to have a balanced budget. So, Jimbo, you keep this up and you will be eligible for full-time benefits. Always good to hear you. Yes. Well, we have a few more. I'll be Tara again on Monday, and then there are in June a few more Bobby Macs that I'll be doing. And every now and then they will pitch a Vince Coakley my way. So I guess I need to have a good ID just to prove to myself who, in fact, I actually am. Texter says, the fact that the voters can't be trusted and that vote fraud is a thing is why we need term limits on the House and the Senate. I agree that we do need the term limits. The voters, I guess, in a perverse way can be trusted. There are some, not everybody, but some voters who can be trusted to vote in very selfish and venal ways. Who's going to give me the most free stuff? That's all I care about. That's a form of trust, I guess. You can trust them to not care anything about the integrity of the country, and that they will. You can trust them to pursue anything that will make them bigger parasites than they already are. That you can trust many people to do. That's true. Let's see here. What would prevent a harvester from picking and choosing whose ballots got turned in or counted? Nothing. Yes, you've struck right at the very core of the problem. What would prevent a harvester from picking and choosing whose ballots? Nothing. And you wouldn't even have to know how somebody voted. If you were harvesting ballots in this day and age, we know by where people live. People who engage in polling can tell you that, let's say, a certain block or a certain street somewhere in the last three elections, let's say, voted 62% Republican or 58% Democrat, whatever. You can look at a certain area, and if you've studied the data, and you know what the vote was there in previous elections, you have a pretty good idea that a given vote in a certain area would more likely than not be a Republican vote, would more likely than not be a Democrat's vote. So, yeah, nothing would prevent a harvester from picking and choosing. And they wouldn't even have to know precisely what's in the ballot. They've got a pretty good idea what's in the ballot just by the location. Texter says, Jimbo, can you talk about the HERO Act? Y'all, that's this latest thing that has passed the House now, which is being put forward. The HEROES Act, pluralized, it's called the Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act, or HEROES Act, of course. These days, if you can't make a good acronym out of a bill, I guess that you just simply can't vote on it. The Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act. This passed on pretty close to a purely partisan vote, Democrats outnumbering Republicans in the House 208 to 199. It's $3 trillion of legislation. That's 3 million millions, okay? Already Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate majority leader, has derided it as a big laundry list of pet priorities. Yeah, as opposed to some of the earlier stimulus programs, but this one may be worse. This grab bag bill, as he is calling it, McConnell, includes many provisions disconnected from stabilizing the economic effects of the coronavirus. How far afield do they go? There is one related to cannabis banking. Now, you can argue which way you want about whether or not banks should be required to extend loans to pot shops, okay? That's an issue of the day. You can talk about it. What is it doing in an economic stimulus bill? Trust me, even in states in which this applies, that is to say where the legislature and or voters have legalized the use of recreational marijuana, even in those states, the legal marijuana trade doesn't constitute such a major a part of the economy that they, in fact, have to worry about this as a part of an economic stimulus plan. The HEROES Act is as notable for what it omits as for what it includes. The Paycheck Guarantee Act would have guaranteed 100% coverage of workers' wages up to $90,000 a year. And the sponsors arguing that given the economic carnage brought by the pandemic, that Congress needs to think bigger. Well, yes, that's always a problem. Congress doesn't think nearly big enough when it comes to your tax dollars. I would ask you to think about the notion of your tax dollars being used to guarantee 100% coverage of workers' wages up to $90,000 a year. Okay? That is to say, if somebody was making 90 grand and they're no longer making their 90 grand, that your tax dollars would go to make up the difference. Does that appeal to you? That sound like what you'd be interested in? Because Congress needs to think bigger. So to the texter who suggested that I talk a bit about the HEROES Act, it is much more of what we have heard up to this point. All right.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And we have a caller, Mike in Hendersonville, checks in this morning. Good morning, Mike. Mike has disappeared. I am very sorry that you are not with us this morning, Mike, but you're welcome to call back in at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. Mike had been interested in how Lindsey Graham keeps getting reelected. Well, part of that, of course, is the momentum of being well-known. For the record, Lindsey was first elected to the State House of Representatives in 92, spent 2 years there, 8 years in the U.S. Congress, and now 18, three full terms in the U.S. Senate. So part of the reason is the fact that people vote for familiar names. Another reason is, of course, the open primary that we have in South Carolina. There are any number of people who have challenged Lindsey over the years from the right, but they may get swamped by Democrats who, having no effective vote in their primary, since frequently Lindsey has not faced much more than token opposition, so the Democrats simply glom over and vote in the Republican primary. Also, sometimes you can have people who split up the opposition vote. When Lindsey, for example, in 2014, Lindsey had five primary opponents. Now, he won with 56% of the vote in that primary, but the top vote getter in opposition to Lindsey in the 2014 primary got only 15% of the vote. So you've got to challenge Lindsey in a primary. First of all, it would be helpful if, in fact, we had party selection, and I'll talk about why that is I think desirable and important in a moment. But you don't challenge an incumbent with a split opposition. When the opposition to a candidate is split, when that candidate is already well known and an incumbent with all the advantages of incumbency, your odds are already greatly reduced. Couple that with the open primary law that Democrats can cross over, and that's part of the problem. Of course, once he gets the Republican nomination, then he is frequently running against a Democrat who is off the wall, liberal left. And at that point, you almost have to vote for Lindsey. You don't want the liberal lefty in there. No, Lindsey Graham, if he were to be defeated, would have to be defeated in a primary. And he's not going to be defeated, okay? We'll start with that. That's just a fact of life. But I think it's important that, in fact, we have closed primaries, because that's not really an election. It is a party nominating process. Primaries are there for a party, whatever the party may be, the Republicans, the Democrats, Libertarians, Socialists, Vegetarians, whomever. The purpose of a primary is for that party to put up their choice in that party for whatever office is involved. The election is in November. The primary is not an election. It is a party selection process. We're going to have a nominee in the election, which is in November, and we in the party will pick that nominee. And I think that it's fitting and right that that be done within a party. And so I think that you ought to. I was surprised when I first moved here and discovered that it didn't matter how I registered to vote, that I could pretty much vote anywhere I wanted to, which is fine. I forget who I voted for in the Democratic presidential primary this past year because I had a vote. And so I voted for whoever I thought was a loser. I forget who it was now. But it was allowed, and so I did so, but I don't think it should have been allowed. As a Republican, I don't think I should have been allowed to vote. I will vote if the law says I can, but I think the law should be changed. I will not unilaterally disarm my vote, but I think that the law should be changed in that regard. So that's part of why what Mike in Hendersonville was calling about was that he faces frequently divided opposition in the primary, which is further diluted by the presence of Democrat voters. And then in the general election in a state like South Carolina, he is almost invariably in the general election. He's the conservative alternative, not as conservative as many would like him to be, but nonetheless, he winds up being the conservative alternative. And you don't want the Democrat, whoever that person is, to be running at that time. Let's see here. Talking about things that are open here, the YMCA is opening Tuesday in our area, says this texter, at 18 before 9. No classes, but the fitness room will be open. Let's see here. Remember the last election for governor in Florida and the shenanigans pulled by the woman directing the count of ballots in South Florida? Yeah. Let's see here. Jimbo, what is the state of your residence? South Carolina. Appreciate you enjoying my presence here on the radio. Yeah, I'm an upstater. Registered to vote here, live here, the whole thing. Moved here. We had originally had a vacation home here, but decided to make it our full-time home. And radio business being what it is, it's pretty easy to work from home. I would confess that I have not faced a lot of adjustment in terms of working from home, since I do that on a regular basis on another job that I do in radio. So that's part of the situation here for me personally. Working from home, I just find it a very normal and natural thing. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. Scott in Greenville calls in. Good evening, Scott.
Good morning, and I hope you're doing
morning,
well
I should
this
say.
Morning, and have a great holiday weekend.
Yes, indeed.
Getting straight to my point, you were talking about Lindsey Graham. So let's talk about his opponent, his Democrat opponent. I've been to Mr. Harrison's website, and I'm a little bit puzzled.
That's Jamie Harrison, right? Jamie Harrison?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right. So I've been to his website three times now, and I'm a little bit puzzled by something. South Carolina is, I would say, very much interested in their Second Amendment rights, but Mr. Harrison has zero mention of his stance on firearms. And I'm curious as to why that is. Are we to presume, I don't use the other word, are we to presume that he is going to vote like every other Democrat for some type of gun bans? Or are we to presume that he is gun friendly? And why is he avoiding that topic?
Well, I'll put it this way. If he were, in fact, gun friendly, he would be trumpeting that from the rooftops. Okay? This is South Carolina. So you may safely assume that he has omitted any mention of that because he doesn't think it will further him getting elected. That's why. And so, I don't know where Jamie Harrison stands, the Democrat challenge to Lindsey Graham. I don't know where he stands on gun issues. My guess would be he's probably a garden variety Santa Claus liberal, and that probably includes opposition to guns. Don't know that for a fact, but I know that certainly as a general rule, if you have a position that you think the voters will like, you scream it from the rooftops. The fact that he doesn't mention the Second Amendment probably tells you, Scott, all that you need to know. I appreciate your call and your thoughts. You would need a well-funded, single primary opponent, more conservative than Lindsey Graham, in order to defeat him, which is not impossible. But again, incumbents tend to get reelected. Usually about 95% of them get reelected. If you have a throw-out-the-bums year, tight like 1994, the Contract with America year, or 2010, the Tea Party year, then 90% of them get reelected. We only throw out 10% of the bums. So, you know, that's just the way it is. I've mentioned this before, but it's worth noting that the predecessor host on this program, Russ Castle, once confided in me, and since Russ has passed on, I will share that fact, that he was approached at one point, I'm not sure exactly when, but he was approached at one point by a number of potential backers and said that if he were to challenge Lindsey Graham in a South Carolina Senate primary, that he, Russ, would not lack for money. Now, he was certainly well-known, obviously, in the upstate, very articulate, very thoughtful individual. And, of course, any incumbent being challenged, the big problem always is the amount of money. And they were prepared to back Russ to the hilt. It would have been interesting to see Russ, let's say, engaged in a debate with Lindsey Graham. Of course, it never happened. Russ explained to me at the time, I didn't realize how serious this was, but that he felt that health considerations would keep him from running. And, of course, as we found out, in fact, Russ had some considerable health issues, so a tragic end to that story. But that's what it would take to defeat Lindsey Graham, would be a unified conservative opposition, well-funded and well-known, and an opposition that would take him on in a primary that was a closed primary. As long as you've got the open primary, the odds of defeating him are pretty minimal, really. Other texters with thoughts at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line of 71307, 71307 at 6 minutes before 9 o'clock here. Hey, Jimbo, since it seems like our churches are too afraid to open the doors, maybe we could all have our worship services at Walmart. or possibly maybe at a liquor store. There you go, at a liquor store. Texter says here regarding, I guess we're still talking about the Lindsey Graham thing, what about Trey Gowdy? You have to understand why Trey Gowdy did not challenge Lindsey Graham in the past and why he has left, in fact, elective office. Trey Gowdy hated Washington. And the quote attributed to Trey Gowdy at one point when someone suggested that he, Gowdy, should challenge Lindsey Graham in a Senate primary, that Gowdy reportedly replied, "What, and trade a 2-year prison term for a 6-year prison term?" He did not like Washington. I was, somewhat surprised to see him become an attorney for President Trump, because that does involve dealings inside the Beltway. I was wondering if he might run for governor someday, but I'm not sure that he has any desire for continued elective office, so that would be that. Now, the texter says Trey Gowdy is a swamp creature. Well, I'll put it this way, less of a swamp creature than Lindsey Graham, I would say. But again, of course, in the battle of who is as purely conservative as you can possibly get, you would have to find somebody who reach that consensus among South Carolina conservatives. So, I am so tired of Mr. Graham Nasty that I would like to know more about his Republican opponents. I'll have to look up who is running against him. I don't think anyone of a particular note, but I can, I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure, honestly, who is running against him this particular go-around. But I'll try to find out and get you some more information about that. But suffice it to say, as long as you've got an open primary, it's very difficult to change that. Now, I have in the past spoken out on behalf of the notion of using open primaries as long as they're open. For example, I supported Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos, I think it was, back in the 2016 when he urged people in states like Mississippi to vote in the Democrats' presidential primary, because at that time, this was in 08, and John McCain already had clinched the Republican presidential nomination, but there was still a big battle between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama for the Democrats' nomination. And Rush urged people to vote in, I think it was Texas and Mississippi were two states that allowed it and which were coming up. And in fact, Hillary Clinton carried both states. And I remember Hillary Clinton's comment at the time to Rush Limbaugh, which was, be careful what you wish for. Well, in any event, she, of course, did win those two states. So the agony of the Democrats' primary continued, which was what Rush's point was. And I supported the notion of Republicans voting in the Democrats' presidential primary in South Carolina because there wasn't a Republican primary. I'm in favor of using it as long as it's allowed. I would prefer the law be changed so that it is not allowed. Anyway, more to come.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.